Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Hello.
Asa Gray.
Hey.
Mandy Kennedy.
I'm all alone now.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. She says she's alone. She means that there's not another woman here.
I miss you, Lindsay.
Oh, she doesn't listen to the show.
Not that she'll listen. It's fine.
Maybe she can feel it in the universe somehow. Like, whenever it hits the internet, it's just like, well, we're not through the anime site. She's not going to know it was us.
Yeah, no, she might feel it while she's
at work.
There's
a disturbance in the force.
It'll be fine. Anyway, all right, on to news today because we got quite a bit. First look at Brie Larson in her Captain Marvel costume for Avengers 4, importantly. I know a lot of people just saw it and thought this was going to be her costume for Captain Marvel, her own movie. That movie doesn't start filming until sometime next month. So this was for her. She will appear in Avengers 4. And this is the outfit she's going to be wearing. I don't know if you guys saw it. Did you?
Yeah. I looked it
up. It's like more blue and green and all that.
Yes, it's the Kree colors.
It's very Kree.
Yes.
It looks cool.
I like it.
Yep. So that's why I assumed it was actually, because I didn't know until just now that this was for Avengers 4. Because I thought it was going to be for the standalone, because it would make sense for her to start, like, her initial uniform to be very Kree.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm assuming that her movie is going to be an origin story. So if she starts with the Kree and then eventually kind of makes her own uniform, which is what we've seen in the comics with the much more red and...
Yeah, red, yellow, blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole outfit. Somebody has done recolors of her actual costume. It looks kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's definitely for her appearance in Avengers 4. I'm not sure if they're going to just introduce her like they did Spider-Man, where it's like, look, this is Captain Marvel, and then she gets a movie. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like they're trying to do. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for them to show off her as in Avengers 4 and then do a movie leading up to her appearance in Avengers 4.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't like, because I also would have thought that not many people know about Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So an origin story would probably be apt
and helpful. Yeah, it's not like it's not Spider-Man where we have gotten a origin story every 5 years.
Yeah. Roughly.
For like the last 2 decades.
And it also Black Panther. Like, that's how we got Black Panther introduced in Civil War.
Mm-hmm. And how awesome was that, though? That's why I'm perfectly okay with it, because I'm like, the Black Panther movie is probably going to be amazing, sorry. It's probably going to be really awesome. And, like, if I am perfectly cool with them introducing a character and then giving me a solo movie, because unlike DC, they're really good at building a story around it, not making, like, the new character reveal be a big thing, and then giving them a story later.
You say really good.
I think it helps.
I mean, whenever Black Panther is awesome, I'm going to be like, they did a really good job with that.
Well, no,
character.
You said DC is really good
he meant, oh, did he? I thought he was meant.
I might have. I'm brain tired.
I knew he meant Marvel does a good job, whereas DC doesn't.
I said it's because it's not DC.
Like, unlike Marvel. Oh, okay. Yeah. Unlike DC.
I may have missed that part.
If I screwed that up, put that in now. Like, just make your brain do that. But if I said it right, Jesse, ha 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 ha.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll accept that.
No, yeah, and he's right. Especially with, like, because looking at Civil War, like, Black Panther was one of the highlights of that movie.
Yeah.
Of a amazing movie. Like, he very much stood out. But it's... No, never mind. I was going to say, like, well, it's almost easier because Black Panther is almost an easier character to explain. But then I thought, maybe Space Cop... who, like, Space Cop imbues his powers on a scientist and she becomes new Space Cop is not more difficult than... Okay, so there's this secret country who's technologically advanced, and they have access to this metal that's magical. Also, there's kind of magic there, and he's a world leader, but no one really knows, and everyone just assumes it. Yeah, never mind.
Yep, yeah, no, Black Panther has it. And we got, basically, in Civil War, we got a total of 5 minutes of Black Panther origin story. Mm-hmm. And then,
which means we're just going to get 2 hours of Black Panther.
Well, and honestly, that was the only thing that I was kind of like, because Marvel has not taken a lot of liberties when it comes to, like, character stories.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Black Panther kind of went way off script. Because it wasn't Black Panther's origin always. His dad was the Black... Like, T'Challa's father was the Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't become Black Panther until after he was killed by... usually it's Manape, but, like, insert villain here.
I mean, that's what happened, though.
Yeah, that's what happened in Civil War.
You're telling me that dude had the suit and was, like, full-on Black Panther?
Yeah.
Because he was, like, an old... Like, he looked like James Earl Jones.
Dark Knight Returns.
I mean,
it's
like...
an old Black Panther.
Yeah, like,
That Black Panther got some gray in him.
Well, and I'm just saying, like... And I'm not saying that there's no way that's true. but they definitely didn't show us anything to believe that.
No, you're right.
And so it's kind of hard to, and again, I'm fine with the fact that they have this super suit and vibranium is a thing. Like, I'm not questioning that. It's just
that part of the origin.
Because I thought that my understanding was, or my understanding is
him as Black Panther is like, I don't know if he's suiting up and like fighting criminals.
See, my understanding though is that the king of Wakanda is the Black Panther.
Right.
And because T'Challa's father died, T'Challa's father would have been the Black Panther until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that T'Challa has been training to take his place for a while.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not saying it's just like...
No, this is day one.
This isn't like Star Wars where like, oh, I've never had any training. Also, now I'm awesome.
No, yeah. So that's my guess. Like,
he just inherited the title of it. And he was probably doing the actual Black Panthering around Wakanda. But
yeah.
I can buy that. Can buy that.
That's my guesstimate.
I'm just used to Earth's Mightiest Heroes style, where his dad is basically still like in the prime of his life and is just ready to go.
Oh yeah. No, that's fair. Because that was definitely original Black Panther storyline. So that's what we got for Black Panther, is like his backstory. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get a lot more knowledge of, like, you know, Wakanda and how everything works in the actual movie.
Next month.
Yeah.
That is next month?
Yeah, like 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yep. But it takes place, you know, after Civil War. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that's the same thing they're going to do in Captain Marvel. We're going to get like 5 to 10 minutes of like, who dis? Right. Oh, dad who dat. And then we're going to get a movie about it.
And assuming it still is, you know, cosmic threat of Avengers, like, it makes sense for Captain Marvel to appear.
Yeah. Right.
So,
and talk about like Captain Mar-Vell and all that good stuff.
So yeah, I don't want any of that in the Infinities War movie. I want all that to be like, I just want her to show up, do what she needs to do, and then I'll get all of that I need in the Solo movie, because I don't need the Infinity Wars movie being gummed down by like every character having so much development.
See, and that's what we were worried about Civil War. But look how good Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah.
Granted, the last two Captain America movies have been better than the second Avengers movie. So.
Yeah. You know, Captain America. Like, the three Captain America movies might be like in. All three of them are my favorite of each phase.
Because like
the last two.
Like all of them.
I love the first. It was the first one was my favorite of the first phase.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yep.
Yeah. But so, you know, like all the good character development in Civil War was the main players in the Captain America like movies. Like, it wasn't like I don't need Ant-Man getting a lengthy story plot. Like, it's stuff like that. Like, I need Captain Marvel to, like, we get a really brief, like, 4-minute thing of like, okay, that's why she's here. Okay, that's what she can do. That Solo movie will be coming up. And like, that's all I need.
Fair enough. Yeah, like, I'm really excited to just get more of Captain Marvel stuff. Like, I think she's a cool character and I really trust what Marvel can do with her. So yeah, lots of stuff to look forward to. On a completely different note, Black Dynamite 2 has been announced.
Yes.
And you're saying to yourself, this is on Nerd Up. Yeah, we're dumb. Like, these movies are stupid and I love them.
Movies. Movie.
Movie, yeah.
And it's not that stupid. Good, it counts as two, Jesse.
Black Dynamite is one of my favorite movies of all time. Exactly. I love that movie.
So good.
It's so good. If you guys haven't seen Black Dynamite, do yourselves a favor. Find a version of it. Like, go buy it. I highly recommend buying it just on Blu-ray 3 times. Because
you're going to want to rewatch it.
Oh, you're going to have multiple movies?
Yeah.
Are you going to love all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my sentence stands then.
Ish. Anyway, because this movie is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really good.
I love Black Dynamite. And yeah, Michael J. White released a little bit of a teaser on his
Twitter.
On his Twitter about Black Dynamite 2, because they're back.
Can we also mention how that man has not aged since Spawn? Like the Spawn movies?
I actually, I rewatched Spawn when they added it to Netflix, and I forgot Michael J. White was Spawn. I'm like, no, wait a minute.
How? Yep. He's got the Keanu Reeves vampire thing going.
Yeah, like
he's been alive for centuries. We just need to start finding like
the pictures,
paintings from like 1800s.
Because when you think about like Black Dynamite came out, what, 15 years after Spawn or something like that?
Roughly, because Spawn was like mid-90s. We'll do some math in there. That's cool.
Yeah, and that dude was still in incredible shape for Black Dynamite. And I mean, he's still in incredible shape. And
I say like he hasn't aged. It's kind of like Frieza. Like, we have yet to see his final form. It's just getting better looking each time.
Yeah, no, so I'm super pumped for this. We didn't get much information. I guess Foghorn's alive again because he was doing the narration.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, this is great. I'm so excited about it.
Honestly, with Michael J. White, you could make it a prequel.
Yeah, you
and
really
it would,
could.
And it would be believable.
Yeah, probably.
Spawn was 97.
Okay, so wasn't that? It was
no,
like
it was 11 years because Black Dynamite was 2008. It looks like.
Yeah, because I remember that came out when 12. I was in college.
2009. My bad.
Yeah. So yeah, no, great movie though. Just absolutely worth watching. Black Dynamite, not Spawn. Spawn's okay.
I was about to say, I was like, I actually really enjoy Spawn. That's a fun movie.
It was okay. It is a fun movie. Like I remember loving it as a kid when I rewatched it on Netflix. I was like, oh, this.
Oh, I'm not gonna rewatch it. I'm not stupid.
Yeah, leave that magic. Yeah, in the past.
I'm not gonna Turtles 3 myself. It's fine.
I did.
Raphael.
Stupid. All right. So now this next one, something I'm not excited about. This is probably the most disgusting sentence I will utter on Nerd Up.
Wonderful.
Okay. Wonderful. We're about to get in an argument. With
Michael Bay. Is producing a Duke Nukem movie.
If there was
Nope, finish it. Let him finish.
John Cena is in negotiations to be Duke Nukem.
All right, now I'm going to start with, if anybody should be directing, producing video game movies, it is Michael Bay.
Because he has all the explosions to put in that ground.
Yeah, like, I'm perfectly on board with that. John Cena as Duke Nukem, yes, I want it twice. I want this to be a trilogy.
This coming from the dude that dislikes the Expendables.
It's because John Cena is still dangerous. He is just hit 40. He's not 40 million. That's two different things.
So something that we talked about, because we talked about this on Wednesday because it was about John Cena.
And I didn't get to talk about it because I wasn't in town.
The most magical part of this is that there's no director. There's no script. There is nothing for this movie except for the idea that they want to make John Cena Duke Nukem. That's why this movie is being made.
So I feel like John Cena just texted Michael Bay. It was like, hey man, I didn't want to star in a movie. I'm sure.
Yeah, like just like, hey, you like doing movies, right?
I need a really big, over-the-top muscular dude.
You want to top the Marine 2?
Whoa, he didn't do the Marine 2.
I know.
That was somebody else.
But no, it's... I can't remember if it was Shannon or if it was Justin who we had on the show who actually kind of had like a really good idea, because like my initial reaction to that is, look at the contents of those games. There is no way in hell you can make a Duke Nukem movie in 2018.
You can.
In the climate that we have, like, no, that is not going to happen. And then it was either Justin or Shannon who was like, yeah, but if you have like Duke Nukem from the 90s and then bring him here and he has to adapt to like everything that we've done as a society for the last like 20 years. You know what? Okay.
The only downside is, you know, Michael Bay would turn that into like some sort of weird narrative against liberals.
How things used to be in like the good old days.
Yep.
And if there's one actor that I feel it could play that off perfectly, it is John Cena. John Cena is hilarious.
Yeah, he's not a bad actor at all. He just picks really bad movies.
Yeah, like, but whenever he's in a good thing, like with Trainwreck, like his stuff in Trainwreck legitimately made me cry. I think Blockers is going to be the worst movie of 2018, but I am really, really excited to watch that stupid funny movie. And just like John Cena's stuff in that, like just him butt chugging, just like I'm buying a ticket just for that. It's like, all right, John Cena made a choice. He's doing it. I want to see him do Duke Nukem now.
I think it's going to be atrocious.
Yeah, no,
it's not going to be a good movie. I'm not looking for high art here.
It's not even going to be fun. It's just going to be awful.
Yeah, I don't see this as an upside other than just like...
It's going to be 90 minutes of like, this just, actually got made.
Mm-hmm.
Someone decided this was going to be a good idea.
Robot chicken. Michael Bay, explosion, Michael Bay.
It's going to be terrible. The only thing I don't like about John Cena is Duke Nukem, though. Like, I think he has the body and everything for it, but he doesn't have the voice.
Yeah.
Like, my Duke Nukem has been smoking since he was 3.
Right.
And, like, has been liquored up that long, too.
Yep.
Like, he has just gravel inside of his throat. And, yeah, John Cena ain't that.
Us explaining to Allie what Duke Nukem was, and some of the things you can do in those games. Check that. That was on Wednesday. Go back and check that out.
Yeah, that bit at the very least is likely worth it. All right. Something I'm much happier about. Hans Zimmer is coming out of his superhero movie retirement to score X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Ooh.
I'm real happy about that.
I like that.
Because at the very least, this movie is going to have phenomenal music.
I hope it's good. Like I think that these are, as a trilogy, I think the I can't remember what it's called. I wanted to say X-Men Old School.
That's the first class stuff.
First class. Like, yeah. I like this as a trilogy better than I liked the original trilogy, I think. But I think that kind of goes with your Spider-Man argument of, like, 3 was so bad.
Yeah.
It makes me look back and the whole trilogy is a whole worse.
Yep.
So I'm hopeful. I've enjoyed it. Like, even Apocalypse wasn't the best, but I still love that movie.
Yeah, no, it was super fun.
Like,
to
I can recognize it may not have been as good as it could have been, but I still loved it.
Yep.
And I think that's where it is here. I just wish they would. I am a little bummed that they're doing Dark Phoenix, because that teaser trailer at the end, or the bonus scene at the end of Apocalypse, it's like, give me Mr. Sinister.
Seriously. Give me. And we probably will have Sinister somewhere in this.
Yeah.
Just because.
Mm-hmm. As the B-grade villain who is dispatched quickly before the real threat emerges.
Exactly.
Don't want that, though.
Because, yeah, no, Mr. Sinister absolutely deserves to have a movie of his own.
Looking at his design as a kid for the 90s cartoon,
mm-hmm.
of just like, Apocalypse looks stupid. He's got those big lips, the giant A belt buckle. What is that? That's dumb. You're a shapeshifter, and that's what you choose to look like? Okay. But then you look at Mr. Sinister, and he's got the giant shoulder spikes, the just vampire-looking dude, just jacked.
Yeah, no, he was everything that was cool about the
90s. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was just a lackey.
Yeah.
And the comics have done cool stuff with him as, like, a genuine threat on his own. So I'd like to see that translate into a movie, please. Fox, please, before you don't get to make these anymore. Your time is running out.
That's okay. Disney will give us, like, the MCU will give us a Mr. Sinister that we can respect.
I hope.
Everything they've done up till now leads me to believe that's true.
Yeah. It's just there's so many X-Men villains.
Look what they did with Vulture.
I mean, yeah, but he was always at least part of the Sinister Six.
That's true, but what I'm saying is the Vulture was always the lamest part of the Sinister Six.
He's got a point.
I mean, I love Shocker.
No,
but then again,
yeah, no, I'm Vulture's way worse.
Vulture's the old dude that rescues little kids to do his bidding. Then he can't do little kids anymore, so he starts getting midgets.
Rescues. Yeah, I forgot about that too. Okay, yeah,
little people, come on. Anyway,
but no, yeah, I hope you're right. And like, and Hans Zimmer doing, like, the music's gonna be phenomenal, because, like, I don't think Hans Zimmer could compose bad music for a movie if he wanted to.
Right. Like, on his off day, just
yeah, you know what? Whatever. It's this. Masterpiece. 10 out of 10. Like, all right. Take it.
Yeah, no, because that dude is just talented. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm really, really excited about, at the very least, the score of this film. I was already going to watch it because, I mean, it's X-Men.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got our money.
Yeah. Now they just have me more excited about it. Like, I'm way more pumped.
If the movie sucks, at least we can be like, man, that score was the best.
And to go along with music, Aladdin filming has officially wrapped.
Which is weird, because I feel like we just talked about casting. And I know we haven't. Yeah, we just talked about the, like, well, they announced the full casting, but, like, I feel like it was less than a year ago we were talking about the story of, oh yeah, no, Disney can't find an actor to play Aladdin.
Yeah.
It was like, well, they did, like, literally the day after that story came out.
Yeah, no, like, I...
But it just seems like that went really quick.
I agree, but then again, I mean, it's not... It might not be a long movie. I also don't know how long filming took for, you know, Beauty and the Beast and everything else.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, like, they have, like, I guess, a direction they want to go to, and they know exactly what story they're going to tell and how they're going to tell it, so they just need to do that.
Right,
versus,
that's true.
Yeah, versus other movies where you actually get creative input from all sorts of other places, and things can change over time.
You don't get that with Disney.
No, you do not. You don't get to, Disney does. Mickey Mouse says no. You don't mess with the mouse. Chris McKay says there's going to be an update for the Nightwing movie on February 14th, Valentine's Day.
All right,
canceled.
Cool.
Can I talk? Do I get a second?
I mean, it's Nightwing, yeah.
All right, cool. So I don't want this movie to be made yet, like, even close.
Why?
There should not be a Nightwing movie until Robin is introduced. And I get that, like, I get that we're super far down the line in the mythos.
We've already had a dead Robin.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing of, the cool thing about Dick Grayson and Nightwing as a character is the progression of Nightwing. Like, he was Robin, he went to some magical ninjas, and now he's Nightwing, depending on who asks or you're asking. And, like, you get all of that. And in the universe that we currently have with the DCEU, just being like, Happy-Go-Lucky Dick Grayson, I don't think is going to fit in well. And I want that, like, I want, and again, it goes back to my whole DCEU thing. I need four more movies before the movie they're giving me. And I'm not getting that. And they're going to, I don't want to call my shot. I'm going to love the movie either. Like, whenever the movie releases, it will be my movie of the year for, like, the next 3 years. But I'm not excited for a Nightwing movie without having him in a Batman movie first. I've heard that critique from people that like have wrote Nightwing, being like, yeah, no, you don't do a Nightwing movie until you have him in a Batman movie.
And like, I agree with that, but you saying like Happy-Go-Lucky won't work with this one, I think it absolutely will because of how dark Batman is, and just like seeing that juxtaposition would be interesting. But no, I agree. Like, I don't think, and as someone who loves Nightwing, I don't think this movie is going to be good.
Yeah, like, no, and that's the same thing. Like, and it's the whole thing of like, yeah, no, but we need that Happy-Go-Lucky Robin first.
Mm-hmm.
Then so we can have that Happy-Go-Lucky Nightwing. Like, there's a certain progression that needs to happen.
And I know they're doing the Batman prequel movie, and we don't know if that's coming before Nightwing or not.
But isn't that also not part of the canon?
I've heard both ways. Like, it's gone back and forth a few times. Because it's my understanding.
House in order, DC.
Yeah, my understanding at this point is that the Batman movie, the Batman prequel movie, will be canon. The Joker prequel movie won't be. Because we're getting a Joker movie.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be canon because that's not even going to have Jared Leto as Joker.
Oh, no.
It's, right? Yeah, it's just a completely different movie. But, yeah, I think the Batman prequel movie is canon. DC does need to get their stuff in order before they just come crashing down.
Ben Affleck hanging out with a 12-year-old in these movies just seems like the greatest thing in the world to me. Like, how great would some of these movies be if just Batman had a 12-year-old hanging out with him?
I doubt that Ben Affleck does the prequel movie.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I know for a fact that won't be the case, but like Damien, like just have Damien hanging around. Be like, well, this is, I had a better one, but this is what I got now. And it's just a little murder 12-year-old that's just like, bah, 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 like that.
It's his son. He likes him.
He doesn't like him more than Dick. Like, let's be real.
He knows it.
Yeah. Like,
it very much bums him out.
Yeah, like that's kind of the thing. Just,
I mean, it's got, like, it's progressed. I mean, obviously Batman's known Dick longer, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he likes him. He's not a little murder bot, like.
Makes sense, but, I think that.
Batman's not a good dad. Like, I know he's your favorite superhero. We need to get that out of the way. He's a horrible father.
Well, I mean, that's not true. He was a father figure to Dick, and Dick turned out great.
See,
I'm going to throw this out here. Sorry, I'm cutting over you, but any parent that lets their kid fight psychopath murderers on the regular.
I mean, he didn't want to originally.
Also,
he's not a normal kid, though.
Yeah,
no, but any parent that just lets their kid do that, I'm sorry, not a good parent.
Oh, so you can contain him and then he'll just like break out anyways. At least he knows where he is usually.
It's true.
Yep. Also, I think
you suck at parenting.
I'm willing to bet the announcement is it's going to Nightwing is on the screen. It fades away, and in the same font, Grayson. A Spiral adventure. Because you have to admit, Spiral would fit in the DCEU.
Would. And as much as I hated Grayson, I would totally dig that kind of, because it's James Bond.
Right.
Like, that would be cool. And also, yeah, me, the bad parent, the one not letting their kid fight psychopathic murderers. Yeah. I'm the bad guy.
The one who's been trained since birth to, you know, fight psychopathic murderers.
Yeah.
Who's a better
and
fighter
if your whole
than
thing
all of
is
them.
To save the city, and then your son could be killing those people that are killing the people of your city, but it's fine. Be selfish.
And Andy's saving lives.
It's true. Lots of lives.
By keeping him reined in.
Yeah, I'm the bad parent. It's fine.
Charmed. I never watched this show back in the day.
You did.
Because it's three witches, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the idea?
Well, yes. Yes. They're sisters. They had a fourth one, but she doesn't come in till like, the oldest one dies, and then there's three again.
Huh.
Wasn't that done because like the star of the show ended up like a
yes.
train wreck?
Shannon.
So they had to kill.
Yeah,
so they had to kill her off.
She wanted like more money and was being like a biatch, I think. Yeah.
So here's an unnamed sister. Here's you didn't know about her.
We kept her.
She's been here all along.
It was like
and now she's gonna come.
They're like half or step. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like half.
Huh.
It was cool.
Well, neat. Yeah, no, I never watched the show. It didn't really appeal to me. I
don't think we were in the demographic that show was aimed at, to be fair.
Probably not.
Although, all I'm picturing is they got the memo that Netflix swooped Sabrina out from under them. Oh, we're making a witch show.
Yeah, because it is. It got a reboot of Charmed has been ordered by the CW. Because and then there has been a Charmed comic book, and I'm assuming that's what they're going to go with. It's not going to be the same story that it was before. It's probably going to be darker and grittier, like everything the CW has done. So yeah, they're rebooting Charmed. So good news for Mandy.
I guess, but it'll be so hard to see different people playing these characters that I've known for ever.
Yeah, that show was, what, 90s?
Yeah.
When the show started?
Yeah. And I love Holly Marie Combs.
I was always more of a Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of guy.
I watched wrestling. I'm sorry.
I don't.
In the 90s, I also watched wrestling.
I don't understand where this is coming from. Like, apparently they're doing well, because I know people love Riverdale.
Yeah.
But, like...
That show is shockingly good.
It's the thing where it's like, okay, so we finally moved Batman to a dark and gritty timeline because that's where Batman belongs. And then everyone decided, oh, Batman was successful because it was dark and gritty. We will also do dark and gritty.
And, Archie Comics did that.
Yeah, like. So it's like, okay, so it worked for Archie. So, all right, Sabrina is getting a dark and gritty. Like, why?
What? Because the comic book, like the Sabrina comic has been super successful.
Has it really?
Yeah, the suspenseful tales of Sabrina. That's what the Netflix show is going to be based on.
Huh.
Yeah, it's been super successful for Archie Comics anyway. It's not putting up Batman numbers by any means.
Right.
But.
Well, I would sure hope not.
Yeah, no, that and, yeah, the comic that Riverdale is based on have both been really successful. And I think the Charmed one has been pretty successful too. Probably mostly from people like Mandy that enjoyed the show back in the 90s that are like, yes, please.
Yeah, and I mean, Charmed could be, like, dark and gritty, like some of their episodes, but back then, I don't think you could really make it as dark and gritty, you know, and be fine with it on
TV.
But
they're still pretty heavy.
Yeah, like some of them, yeah, I mean, stuff happened. It's not like you took, like, a Sabrina high school girl to make it, like, they're adults and stuff.
Right. No, it's just that thing where it's, like, it's so out of my wheelhouse, like, I know I am not the demographic. It's just hard for me to be like, man, is there really? And it's, like, all of my friends and stuff, like, you're the first person, I didn't even know there were comics. Like, at all.
No, oh, yeah.
So it's just that thing where it's like, okay, this is just a thing that I am not familiar with at all. So it's hard for me to believe that there is this much demand for this many, like, 90s teeny bopper, like, gritty reboots. I'm like, I don't get it. Again, willing to admit that I'm completely wrong. It's just not a thing that I've been exposed to.
Yeah, like, because it's one of those things, like, I was never into Archie. Mm-hmm. Like, any of the comics or anything like that. When Riverdale started up, I had no interest in it whatsoever. It's like, okay, this is kind of silly. And then my boss at work, he's a big fan of Archie Comics. And he told me that Riverdale was actually really good. So, and it got added to Netflix because everything on the CW, they have that deal with Netflix where it hits, like, a week after it's done airing, the season is done on TV, it hits Netflix. Mm-hmm. So Riverdale was on there. I was like, all right, well, I'll give it a shot. I ended up binging the whole thing. It was shockingly good. I really, really enjoyed that show. I was like, why do I care about Archie? What is happening? CW, please. Hopefully they don't arrow it up. But yeah, the first season at the very least was really good. My roommate also bought the second season after watching the first. And or what's, you know, current with the second season, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he also is really, really liking the second season. So because after he saw me watching the first season, he decided to give it a chance. And then he ended up binging the whole thing and then ordering what was to date through Amazon for the second season.
Sounds nice. Like him.
Yep. Yeah,
knowing that human being, it sounds about par for the course.
It makes me feel bad that we want to do a show called Irresponsible Spend Monster. When Andrew exists. Like, just.
Yeah, Andrew could have, like, a starring segment on that show for sure. Just get him talking about D&D.
Which it always ends up great for us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's, well,
so whenever he's a irresponsible spin monster, it just benefits everybody, though. It's just not like.
It's
like,
not us when we just buy stuff
for ourselves. Yeah, like, when I buy an action figure, that's just for Dalton. Like, that doesn't help anybody else out.
Tried to sell that yesterday, too.
Yeah, a hole. One of the wrestlers bought me an action figure. And I was like, hey, Mandy, can you hold this? We had to go out to the ring. And then Mandy was trying to, like, pawn it backstage.
Like, just trying to, like,
how much I can get for this?
Because you were like, I think retail would work.
Yep.
Asa had my back.
All right. So, yeah, Charmed reboot. That's coming. We don't know when. It's been ordered.
Yeah.
So we don't have cast. We don't have date.
No one attached to it or anything.
Yeah.
That means like, I could play Piper.
You could.
Think I could get John Cena for it?
No.
If he was my Leo, I'd be fine with that.
Well, now we learned something about Mandy.
I know none of you know any of them.
Context clues. We got it.
Fine. But we've learned something about Mandy.
She wants to play Piper. Piper has some kind of relationship with Leo. It would be John Cena, and Mandy would be very happy.
I mean, I'll take other people too, but Cena's hot. He's fine. He'll do.
He'll do. What if? Oh, you know he's never mind. No,
we're my favorite. All
right. So, going back to Netflix here, a little bit of news. So we have been talking about and wondering about for a while now what is going to happen with all of the Marvel Netflix shows: Punisher, Daredevil, Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Defenders. I think that was all of them, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We've been wondering for a while what's going to happen with them, since Disney's going to have their own streaming service, and obviously they own Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
We have an unconfirmed report from Marvel that those five shows and Defenders will all stay on Netflix. However, any spinoffs or anything else from those shows will be on the Disney stream, on the Disney streaming service. So going forward, my understanding now is, and again, this is unconfirmed, mm-hmm. but from a reliable source, that's going to be the way they're going to run it. I imagine that the Disney streaming service will still have the Netflix shows streaming,
mm-hmm.
but Netflix is still going to get them, and they're still going to produce them.
See, and I'm wondering if that means that, like, because when they say, I know it's not what a spinoff is at all, but I wonder if it's, no, you get to keep, you know, the first two seasons of whatever's out already, or, like, all of that's on there, but, like, season 4 of Daredevil will be on this
Disney streaming service.
So they're not taking down what's already there, but it's not necessarily getting anything new.
Right. At the very least, yeah, they're not taking off what's already there.
Right.
But yeah, I think that my understanding of this report is that any new Daredevil, Punisher, etc.
is going to still be on Netflix.
Is going to still be on Netflix.
Just if they introduce a new character, like what they did with Punisher.
Right. So yeah, basically, if we get any more spinoffs, because we've gotten, in all of those shows, mm-hmm. a ton of characters that could easily have their own series.
Right.
Because, I mean, we got, like, the Daughters of the Dragon mm-hmm. via Luke Cage and Iron Fist. We got Hellcat from Jessica Jones. We've gotten setups. Someone said that Jennifer Walters has been mentioned at some point in one of the Netflix shows.
Mm-hmm.
Likely Daredevil because lawyer, or right. Jessica Jones because also dealing with a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's She-Hulk.
Right.
So, I mean, we could get potentially a spinoff of She-Hulk out of this.
But, like, if Moon Knight shows up in season 3 of Daredevil, if they're setting up for his own show, that's going to be on the Disney streaming. We won't get that on Netflix.
So, yeah. So, that is kind of a bummer, because especially if they don't do any of the spinoffs, because they don't want to expand that mini universe. It's obvious it all exists inside the MCU,
yeah.
right?
But, like, none of the MCU movies have recognized yet the street-level heroes.
Right.
Well, there's reasons for that. They've been busy.
So does Disney get to put, like, Daredevil on their stream service, though?
More than likely, yeah. Because Disney does own it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, they'll still have that streaming,
because that would just
right.
be annoying if you were just getting into it and you had to have Netflix to watch these, but then if you wanted to watch the spinoff, you'd have to then buy Disney.
Which yeah. means get Netflix now, get everything that you need to watch now.
Yeah.
Drop Netflix, get that Disney service.
So, yeah.
Which is probably, I'm going to have to do that.
But I'm willing to bet no one listening to this doesn't have access to Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an ingrained part of society at this point, like... You may not be paying for a Netflix subscription, but you've probably got a profile on someone's account.
Yep.
Yep.
Plus, Thornton, if the Marvel shows are the only reason you're keeping Netflix, why haven't you watched them?
No, I'm keeping Netflix for other reasons. Actually, I don't know why I have Netflix. I never use it. I watch Hulu. Thanks, Community. If they put Community on Netflix, I would drop Hulu.
That's actually the first time I ever watched Community was by the Canadian Netflix. Because Community was on Canadian Netflix.
Because I remember seeing the press release that it was coming to Netflix, and I got super excited, and I marked the day on my calendar, because all I saw was the headline, Community coming to Netflix, April 3rd. Sweet. April 3rd, loaded up. Oh, maybe it's not on yet. April 5th? Okay, you said. Community arrives on Canadian Netflix. There's a difference?
Yep.
Why?
Oh my, they're FMA just America Junior. Better be in America.
No, say that we have friends.
It has to do
they're
with
aware.
The
sometimes oh. the sometimes sometimes the little brother's better than the big brother. But I mean,
And the Netflix game, Little Brother got us beat.
I mean, there's a lot of things that Little Bro's doing better for us.
That's really true.
We're sleeping on Mom's couch. Like, they got their own place. It's fine.
They got a degree. They got a career.
They show up for holidays. We just kind of give them the side eye.
But anyway, there's difference
my email.
In every country.
Yeah.
Every country has different Netflix because of licensing rights. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to view Netflix from other countries. Or view other countries' versions of Netflix.
Right.
FMA better be in America.
It is.
Better be.
You've watched it.
It's on there.
No, the live action.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I watched it. Watch it again now.
that's what we've got with Netflix and the Marvel shows, which that's good news in my opinion.
Right.
Again, the downside being hopefully they continue to do spinoffs, like even if Netflix doesn't get them, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of really interesting characters that I would definitely want to know more about, and I would really hate for them not to get any kind of screen time because mm-hmm. Netflix isn't allowed to do spinoffs.
And this is just a great way of doing it, like giving them the street level series as opposed to you can do the big heroes with the world threats like on the big screen really, that which they clearly do really well.
Yes.
But to give someone who probably wouldn't fit in quite as well in that scenario with, like, the casual audience.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, because all those Netflix shows are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And, most of them. Some of them are just good.
Season 2 of Iron Fist is going to be great. It's weird that they're jumping straight into Season 2. I guess they're counting Defenders as Season 1 of Iron Fist.
I'm okay with that logic.
I don't know.
I don't. Never mind.
So, anyway. Comic books, this section of our podcast is brought to you by our good friends in Perryville, Missouri, the owners, proprietors, and staff of Villainous Grounds. Love those people. Love that shop. We're going to talk a whole lot about new comic books coming out. You can contact these people. They will happily set some aside for you.
Are you okay?
The way you said these people made me laugh.
Oh, I wasn't even looking at Ace. I was trying to figure out what this plug was about. Like, he's like, this isn't normal, Jesse.
Well, like, because I keep waiting for input from you guys, and it's not coming. So.
Oh, yeah, no, they're great people.
I pause for input where I normally get it, and it's not coming, so I just keep jumping to other stuff.
On the next plug, I got you. I got you, all right? Villainous Ground's great people. You need to go buy comics and coffee from them.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, do that. Anyway, Doomsday Clock. It's switching to a bi-monthly schedule after issue 4 is being delayed to April or March.
Do we know where
a lot of other stuff is coming in April?
Do we know why the delay is happening? Is it a writing or is it an art? Do we know?
Basically, he said that they like were. I don't remember the story, but he said like having to do 20 pages a month is just they don't want to do that. Because
I understand that. Like I'm not. I don't
no, like they wanted to put out more, but so for whatever reason, like the I'm thinking that the bi-monthly will let them do bigger books at a time,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to tell this big story in like such small chunks that they were being required to, I guess.
I mean, it makes sense. Like I'm not crapping on anybody.
I'm not entirely sure the reasoning behind it because I had to read it like 4 times before I realized that it wasn't getting moved to twice a month, but it was like, nope, it's every other month now,
which somehow like I don't think I've got issue 2 or 3.
I have issue. I think I have them both.
I haven't read any of them yet.
So I've got issue 1. I've read it.
Because I definitely bought issue 3 on Wednesday.
Okay. Did it just come out on Wednesday?
I believe so.
Okay.
I feel like I bought it.
I think I have the first 3 issues too.
Well, then it might have been the week before. I bought it fairly recently. My weeks are bleeding together. I'm sorry, guys.
I'm not sure either. But like, and we only go up once every other week. But it's. He also said that Jeff Johns also said they're hoping to eventually move back to a monthly format. But yeah, because I don't think anyone's particularly happy that this is happening.
It was supposed to be a once monthly 12 issues, mm-hmm. knock it out. So, and this is also like, that's a big delay. Like, we're not getting another issue now until March.
Yeah.
The last issue we had. Well, I guess that's.
Yeah,
that's
I say the February. Bi-monthly. Yeah, February's around the corner.
If we got the third in January, then yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Either way, it's getting pushed. That one's getting pushed. I guess it'll be the first one in that new schedule. And then the next one we'll get won't be until May.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is a little unfortunate, because
they need to not do Secret Wars. Like the core books need to be sure that they're keeping up with this new pace that we're getting for Doomsday Clock,
Yeah, if Doomsday Clock is going to have any kind of impact in the DC universe.
Which, that's its whole point.
Right. So, yeah, hopefully DC is going to be able to wait until after that's done. Because, yeah, I definitely don't want to get Secret Wars where I've got, like, I've got books coming out that took place, what was it, 11 months after the events of Secret Wars?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the schedule. Yeah, those books were happening, like, before Secret Wars had ended. I don't want that to happen with Doomsday Clock because it spoiled some things. Like, okay, well, I guess this character dies in the next few issues. That's cool. And, oh, that, okay, that's happening. All right, here we go. Yeah, it was a bummer. That was a real bummer. But anyway, we'll see what's going on with that as it comes out.
So hopefully that won't happen. Gary Frank, who's working on the book, tweeted out, sorry, it was always foreseen that there would be a break between 4 and 5. But no one wants to miss shippings or have to cut back on the complexity. I'm hoping that we can use this to get through of a, to get enough of a cushion to switch back to monthly at some point.
Okay,
that makes so sense. If there was already supposed to, so number 5 in May, number 6 in July.
Because yeah, like that's a lot of story to go 2 months without getting a continuation on.
Right.
Like that's a long gap.
Yeah. So hopefully they're giving themselves enough spacing that we're not going to run into like. The Rorschach ongoing book isn't going to
screw with
it. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't going to pop up like when Doomsday 11 comes out.
Right. Yeah, because, all right, well, I guess Rorschach makes it out of this one. Okay, here we go. all right. Jim Zub is taking over Champions. I don't know what's going on with Mark Waid. Looks like he's dropping out of Champions and Avengers. Because we've got Jim Zub is taking his spot with Champions starting at issue 19. And Avengers in issue 679, coming out in April for Champions and February for Avengers. And Champions is also adding Ironheart and Wasp officially. I think they've made some appearances in the Champions book before.
Ironheart definitely makes sense for who that team is.
Right, and yes, the Wasp is Nadia Pym.
It's new Wasp. So,
yeah,
new.
Hank, yeah, Unstoppable Wasp, I think is what they call her. Yeah, Hank Pym's daughter.
Why do they got to give all the superheroes like WWE style, like prefixes?
like, is there an architect?
I feel like that's a trend that's just been happening the last like few years. Of everybody has like, because there's always been the Amazing Spider-Man. Like those have always been a thing, but I feel like we went through a period where they weren't
doing that.
Yeah, and now it feels like every time someone gets a book, it has to have some sort of like tag to it, like that.
The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Unstoppable Wasp. Like, yeah, no, it's absolutely
a thing. The Totally Awesome Hulk.
Yeah.
That was just lame.
Well, Amadeus Cho is the worst Hulk ever.
No, he's in Champions, though.
Yeah, he is.
I only read the first couple issues, but I liked him in that book.
And this is pure speculation, but do you think maybe Mark Waid prefers to do solo books? So maybe he's transitioning away from those team books?
Maybe. All I know is, like, I stopped getting Champions because, like, as much as I love Mark Waid...
It was lit, fam.
Miles Morales like that was very upsetting to me.
The joke I was going to make is he's getting a solo book called The Contemporary Teen. It's like, oh, all of his great writing's going to be put to good use.
Yeah, like, because it...
He used to be hip. He used to be with it.
20 years ago.
Yeah. Now he's not. It moved. He's not there anymore.
Yeah, Mark Waid is a great writer, but he should probably not be writing stuff that I guess is targeted at teens.
He's only allowed to write Old Man Logan from now on.
Well, they're apparently doing an Old Man Laura Kenny, too.
What?
Yeah.
What? No, but I want not. Old Man Hawkeye first.
Old Man Hawkeye's
that's
out.
That's a thing. Yeah, that's a
whoa,
thing.
Whoa, oh, it's already out?
Yeah.
Wow.
David.
I think they're on issue 2.
David, this is a very important part of the show. David, can you please put those in my box? I need those in my box. I didn't know those came out. I need them in my box, please.
Because I know you gave up on Champions. I read, I think, the first 2 issues and just wasn't, like, super impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Were you keeping up on Avengers? Because I was super excited for that book, but the first story arc was time travel, and I immediately bolted.
Yeah, I ended up liking the time travel arc, but I haven't read anything past it.
Okay. So I didn't know if the quality had...
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I'm sure it was written well, but it was just a subject matter that I could not handle.
Yeah, no, it's fair, because they did some weird stuff. Because their first villain in that first arc was Kang.
And?
What?
Kang and?
Kang?
And past Kang.
Yeah.
Kang teamed up with Kang. So the time traveler time traveled to get the other time traveler, so they time traveled back to do some time travel stuff. Do you see why I didn't read?
There ended up being a lot of Kangs.
He's looking at me like I wrote this book. I want everybody to know that right now. Like, you're not getting the great visual of Aesla staring a hole through me for no reason.
Yeah, basically the entire point of the arc is to determine if they should go back in time and kill Kang as an infant.
There shall be only Kang.
So it's Apocalypse.
Yeah, kind of. So anyway, and I ended up liking that arc, but it's not that I'm not interested in reading more of it. I just didn't.
So much other stuff yeah. was coming out.
Now I want to read the Kanglander.
There can only be dozens. So yeah, I kind of want to get his first issue of Champions to see what he does with it, because Miles doesn't talk like that in his own book.
Right.
He's trying to impress his friends.
Yeah, I don't know. But the first time I heard Miles say it's gonna be lit, I was like, "All right, we out."
I've been hanging out with this 30-year-old white dude named Peter for the last 2 months. I don't know how to use the slang anymore, guys. I'm sorry. it's out of me. I don't.
Peter Parker is more likely to say something is lit.
Yes.
Than Miles Morales.
Absolutely. Yeah, because Miles is a super nerdy dude. Like it's just. Miles, like, I guess I could see him saying that to be funny, but that's not what
that
the
wasn't
book
the
it was. It was very was much in earnest, whatever it was there.
Yeah. So either way, and he said more stuff too, because I know I Snapchatted Dalton and Asa a couple times whenever Miles had some neat phrases.
Yeah. He says it like I say it when I'm being ironic.
And I was like, this is painful to read. So yeah, I ended up, because I love all those characters except for Amadeus Cho. But, I mean, he wasn't bad in the team context.
Right.
But all the rest of the characters I really, really liked. So I was really excited about that book. And Mark Waid and Humberto Ramos were the original creative team. And I love Humberto Ramos. And yeah, here we are. Here we are. Anyway, Deathstroke versus Batman has been announced. It's going to be written by Christopher Priest, who's currently doing the Deathstroke ongoing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, the art will be... Carlos Pagulian, I think is how you say his name. I'm probably wrong.
We're sorry about saying that wrong.
Because that's almost certainly wrong.
Yeah.
But it might be right. Almost certainly wrong. Anyway, yeah, we don't have an official release date for it. They're going to announce it sometime this week. But we do have cover art. And I'm kind of excited about the idea of a Deathstroke v. Batman book.
Yeah, apparently I need to go back and reread some of those early issues of Deathstroke. Because I didn't understand it. Like, I couldn't really keep up with a lot of the characters and who they were and which one was which. But from everything I've heard, like, apparently that run is amazing.
People keep calling Christopher Priest a genius. Like, the article I was reading about this, like, they use the words prolific and genius more than once to describe Christopher Priest.
And, like, when I finally went back and read all of the new Lazarus Contract. And I was like, oh, where that leaves Deathstroke as a character... And I think that is how the book continued. Like, Deathstroke, the solo book, changed at that point, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was actually really interesting. Like, and I was like, that could actually be super cool. So, I haven't yet, but I think I might end up picking up trades or, like, those bundles they have at VG.
Oh, yeah. Collected arcs.
Now, can you explain that to our fine fans at home?
You could have jumped in and just done that right there.
Basically what Villainous Grounds does, which is really awesome, is they take like what would normally be in a trade, usually about six issues. I started to say issues too.
You did.
They take about six issues, they bundle them together, and you can buy all six of them at a discounted price as opposed to just buying them one by one.
Yep. So you have all the individual issues, but you get the benefits of having a trade.
Yep.
Yep. It's a really, really good deal, and I don't know why more comic shops don't do it, because it's genius.
Yes, it is.
It's a great way to get caught up on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do what, Mandy?
That's why they're the best.
They are the best. Anyway, Marv Wolfman is taking over Cyborg. Issue 20 was supposed to be the last issue, but it's getting an issue 21 on April 4th, and it's going to be written by Marv Wolfman, who's had a significant impact on the Teen Titans, you could say.
yeah, you don't say. Jesus. All right. So like the guy that pretty much like created the Teen Titans, he has a small say in that. You son.
So yeah, Cyborg, Marvel Films original creator, co-creator, you could say, of Cyborg. So hopefully, apparently that comic has not been great. And a lot of people are hoping that Marv Wolfman can really breathe some life into it. He's also got he was co-creator of Raven. He did a miniseries for her a little while back that was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got another miniseries just started this month. And it's a 12-issue miniseries that I'm probably going to end up picking up because I like Marv Wolfman. I like Raven. That first series was worth reading. I'm sure the second one will be too. So, yeah.
I feel like Cyborg really suffered when they decided he needed to be a founding member of the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That's actually something, like, when I saw what Rebirth was, I was actually kind of really hoping that that would be addressed. Because Cyborg has always been better as a
Teen Titan. Yeah.
Like, that's always been more interesting. Like, the Justice League movie version of Cyborg, I loved.
Yeah.
And I thought that went really well, but I just think as, like, a comic series, he belongs with the Titans. But it seems like that is a permanent shift now. Yeah, he's
permanently in the Justice League for reasons.
And I'm fine with him getting moved up to the Justice League. It's that founding member part that's like, but not, though.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Change is bad.
At the very least, I would have thought Cyborg would, you know, join up with the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just like joining up with the Justice League.
But the Titans would be so good.
Yeah, Cyborg would be perfect in Titans.
That book's still so good.
Well, that's good. I'm really behind on that book. I know I stopped getting it because I'm so far behind on that book. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so hopefully that'll breathe some life into Cyborg because I like that character and I do want to see him do more stuff. And a little bit of bad news. I've talked about before. We've talked about the new age of DC heroes. That's starting up here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The book that I said I was most excited about, Immortal Men, it's the one written by James Tynion, art by Jim Lee. It has been pushed 4 months to April 11th.
Dang.
That one hurts.
Because it had already gotten pushed a little bit, because it was supposed to come out in December.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had already been pushed, and now it's, April 11th.
I think it was supposed to be the first one.
Yep.
But then Damage came out in January, and so that was that ended up being the first one.
Yeah, and I'm real bummed because, I was really excited about Immortal Men, mostly because of that creative team.
I'm still very behind on Detective Comics. I'm trying to work my way through because I'm finally caught up on Batman and Flash.
Mm.
If you would have told me that I would, like, one of my favorite comics of the year was going to end up being a double date between Batman, Catwoman, Superman, and Lois Lane, I would have laughed you out of the room. But here we are in the year of our Lord 2018, and that issue is so stupid good.
Right?
Tom King has the best understanding of both Batman and Superman in decades.
And just their relationship.
Yeah.
Like, this whole arc has been awesome.
Oh, it's so good. I love it so much. I'm sorry, but yeah, so Tynion doing Detective has been, that was my favorite run of 2017. Like, it's so good. He's so good. He has so much goodwill built up with me with that Detective run that, like, I'm wanting to get all of the number ones of the New Age just to kind of feel them out and see what I like.
Yeah.
Like, Immortal Men, I was probably going to get the first arc of. I probably still will, but...
Yeah, that's actually where I'm at. I'm going to get the first issue of every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, first arc for sure of that, because that creative team is just good.
Yeah.
Super excited about that. But now we won't get it till April.
Now you have time to save.
Yeah.
I can get caught up on Detective and be like, all right, now I'm ready for more Tynion.
Don't fool yourself, Asa. You'll still be behind.
Okay.
Why do you say these true things to me?
All right, so now video games, this portion of our podcast brought to you by our good friends at the Press Start to Join podcast. You can find all of their great content at www.ps2jshow.com.
Now, see, that's not fair because you did the full plug perfect with no stops. What was I supposed to input? Yeah, they're good. Listen to them. Like,
I was just going to let you add on to, like, because I normally finish that plug with, I particularly recommend their History of the Gaming podcast. podcasts.
So you're going to interrupt while he's trying to tell them their web address so then people won't know their web address to go visit them?
No, he hit their web address. He said it.
Yeah, but then you said, where was I supposed to input? Like, was he supposed to be like, www.ps, and then look at you and be like, yeah, they're great.
No, but the last one was so awkward. That one was really good. Like, what do you... All right, listen to Press Start to Join. They're great people. Their podcast is really good. Their monthly video game history is amazing. But the... I don't like your inconsistency today. What's up with video games?
Maybe
Jesse?
You should have been here last week.
I was on a covert operation that we're not talking about.
It's because it's a morning show, really. That's the problem. Like, I am not awake. But anyway, BioWare has delayed Anthem to first quarter 2019, which we kind of knew was going to happen.
I mean, taking all of the loot boxes out of it, or like, you know, having to change up an entire progression system because they might have just tried to copy paste Battlefront 2. Because that wasn't on your notes, but apparently they're totally revamping the progression system. But that's not coming out until March.
For
Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
So they're totally revamping that. So it's like, you had to assume that they were really hoping that they could get away with robbing customers blind with this BS loot crate system in Battlefront 2. And they were just going to put that in Anthem.
I mean, we had already seen in Anthem, like, kind of how the loot system worked. Like, it was very much like you kill stuff, get loot.
Right. And I'm sure that's how it is in Destiny as well. But, yeah. Like, you can also, which I know in Destiny you can't just buy guns, but I'm willing to bet there Eververse would have equipment, like game-changing equipment.
It doesn't.
I would bet. No, not. I know Destiny
Anthem.
Doesn't.
Okay,
I'm saying Anthem absolutely would have.
Yeah.
Like, I would put money on that.
Because EA, as evil as Activision is, EA is much worse.
Right. And so, and we saw that with Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Like, and how atrocious and egregious that was. And that's, I cannot imagine a universe that they would not try to implement those same predatory systems in another game they were putting out.
Yep.
So that, I have to assume that's what this is. Is they're like, okay, well, we can't do this, so.
Because, I mean, they even mentioned in a couple of articles that I've read about Anthem that, like, that was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with all of the stuff between Destiny and Battlefront 2, like, they are really, really doubling down on their efforts to make sure that Anthem is going to be a great game, which I'm sure is PR speak for, yeah, all that stuff you guys are pissed about, we definitely had. So,
give us a minute.
Give us a second. We'll fix it. We promise.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm really okay with, like, because Anthem is one of those like that was the game I was most excited about that E3.
Oh yeah, it looked awesome.
Yeah, I am super pumped about it.
And this was when all we knew about Battlefront 2 is the DLC was going to be free.
Right.
So it was like, all right, EA,
here we go,
making moves.
Because Titanfall 2 built up a lot of goodwill.
Yes, it did.
And then like Battlefront 2 just promptly cut that down.
Yep. No.
What's this in the garbage?
this is for me. It was like, remember when you won worst company in America 2 years in a row? We're back there now.
Hold my beer.
We decided because I don't know why they thought any of those decisions were good.
X gonna give it to you.
It's like, yeah. I want Anthem to be good. It looks awesome. Like, flying around in an Iron Man suit and shooting space bugs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Anthem looks like what I wanted Destiny to be originally.
Yeah.
And since I still had fun with Destiny.
It's like ooh. And now imagine what this game would actually be.
Right? So, yeah, they're also working on Dragon Age 4.
Yes.
Working real hard on that one, apparently. They're going to have an online multiplayer system for it as well. And from my understanding, you said they're going to have a little bit like... Or no, that was with the
that
updates.
Was the, that, okay. That was the, like, the... Because the rumor came out that it was going to have a part of a live feature. So, yeah. Like, games as service, Destiny 2 type deal. But then one of the people working for EA comes out and says, no, the Dragon Age is very much focused on story and character, and the live aspect of it is to just give as much gameplay for people, or to support the game for as long as possible, which to me just sounds like DLC.
Right.
Which, like, additional story quests and stuff, and doing, like, a ongoing, almost like not an like a single-player MMO.
Yeah, so they're going to have, like, you know, monthly, like, events or activities, that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
And then you have probably at some point some paid DLC, because there's really only two options.
Yeah.
You either have paid – when you have, like, ongoing content like that, you either have to pay for the DLC or there's going to be microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
Right.
And I understand that you – like, once the game has already been bought, you have to generate additional revenue if you want to generate additional gameplay.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, you have to pay for it somehow. So I'm really hoping, like, I would much rather them do paid DLC than the microtransactions.
Yeah.
Because the microtransactions don't go well. They end up implemented poorly.
Mm-hmm.
They impact gameplay either too much or too little. And yeah, I would much rather just go back to the days of paying. I can't believe I'm saying this. I would rather go back to the days of paying $15 for a DLC pack.
I miss a season pass.
I'd rather just get a game and it's there.
Yeah, but that's unfortunately that's out of the unless. So, do you think that if say Dragon Age Origins comes out and they promise all futures like story DLC is included in the purchase, there's no microtransactions, there's nothing in that, but the game is $75.
Yeah, I would do it.
That's fine.
I was gonna say like
because
only
$15 more.
Right, and you have to consider like when was the last time game prices went up?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Like games have been
N64 60. And PS2 and Xbox they were $49.99.
Yeah. I remember the GameCube era was they were $50 for a brand new game.
So we're sitting at like more than a decade
yeah.
of $60 games. Like I'm genuinely surprised they haven't gone up already. Now if they go up and then there's still microtransactions and then there will be rioting in the streets.
See, I don't think there will be a game. That's a different argument for a different.
Yeah,
time,
I just say I don't think there'll be any rioting because I think people just won't buy it.
Yeah.
Well, unless every game is.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying is like.
Okay.
Once,
yeah.
Like the because I think that's how it's going to go is like someone like who made Witcher 3?
CD Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red. If they announce that they say like, okay, our Cyberpunk game, it's coming out, all of the DLCs included, including like substantial like the Blood and Wine stuff, which I know that was paid DLC, but like we're doing that, but it's all free, but our game is $75. It'll be 2 years before a company like EA, oh, hey, we're not changing anything about our games, but our games are now $75.
And yeah, I could absolutely see that
and
happening.
It just kind of snowballs down.
And I don't think don't think that would happen.
Because I feel like if EA did that,
mm-hmm.
people just wouldn't buy that game.
See, I don't know.
And that's how that's what would reflect on the market.
The next Madden game that hits is $75. I'm willing to bet it doesn't change anything.
I would not buy it at $75.
You say that.
No, I know for a fact because it was a hard sell getting me to buy it used this year.
Because I mean, if it still has microtransactions and like you know paid DLC that kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
at $75, like people just aren't going to buy it. Like I firmly believe, like the hardcore Madden players, yeah, people will still buy it,
mm-hmm.
but sales are going to be down significantly if they decide to do that.
Yeah,
and I think the sales will be down significantly enough that it will show the rest of the market, like, okay, the only reason CD Projekt Red got away with it is because it included everything forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We'll have to see what it goes.
So.
All right. And since we're a little bit over time, just want to finish this up with everyone should play the game Celeste. If you bought a Switch, do yourself a favor. It's $20. Absolutely worth it.
I was watching you play it. Mm-mm.
The game released this week. Super basic controls, but there's so much that you can do with
it's
them.
The same people who made Towerfall.
Nice. Yeah. Because I know it's based on like a game, like a. It was based on a little like 4-bit game
mm-hmm.
that was just like made in a day. Yeah. And that game is actually accessible inside of Celeste.
So I didn't want to say that because I didn't know if you'd gotten that to that part yet, but you can actually play that full game inside of the game.
Yep. Cool. It's super neat, and I found myself like playing basically the mini version of the game that this game was based on for like 45 minutes, and I'm like, wait, no, I have an actual game to play. No, this game is stupid fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get super creative with everything you do because it's not about pixel perfect. It's just, it's more like Zelda in that you use the game's mechanics to figure out a way to solve the puzzle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just watched you die like 10 times in a row, though.
That happens a lot. You die so much in this game. But you don't start back at the beginning of the level.
So it's like Dark Souls.
No, because you start back like at the beginning of that area.
I just wanted to do the, oh, so it's like Dark Souls.
Well, yeah.
Because every game is like Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah, I get it. But yeah, no, my death counter in that game is something like 400 and something deaths total.
Oh, that's cute. I beat Cuphead. So, I mean, we want to compare numbers.
I mean, I'm only like, I'm not even halfway through the game. Anyway, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week.